Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric, and as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Hoosier Nation. It's me, solo again, Ward still gallivanting around Greece, but I'm on a high. Why am I on a high? Because I am recording this just minutes after the Indiana women's basketball team is headed to the Sweet 16. That's right. This is an unbelievable feeling. This is an unbelievable program, an unbelievable team, the most fun team to root for, a brutally physical, tight defensive struggle of a game. Our shots weren't falling. It didn't matter. We still made what we had to make happen at the end of a game, and we're going to the Sweet 16. There is nothing better. Well, yes, there is, when we beat South Carolina on Friday night. But for right now, in this moment, there is nothing better, and we're going to get to all of that. But we are, as always, powered by
CommunityCars.com. Sponsor of the Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com. Hoosier Legends Talk with Ward and Eric. CommunityCars.com.
And fade out. Beautiful. You know our friends at CommunityCars.com. You know Evan Martin. You know the family. You know his staff. You know that they are Bloomington's destination for your car needs. Whatever your budget, they make it happen. You know the slogan, don't be a jackass, buy your car from CommunityCars.com. If you got a little scratch, you want to splurge a little bit, you want to go a little bit more luxury, they got that for you. If you're tight, money's tight right now, or you're buying a car for a kid and you definitely don't want to spend a bunch of money because you know they're going to ruin the car, then they got you covered there. Whatever your budget is, whatever your financial parameters are, they're going to find the best possible car for you, and they're going to make the experience the most pleasant experience you could possibly have. Is it as pleasant as watching Indiana basketball go to the Sweet 16? No. Is it as pleasant as watching Sidney Parrish crush it, Mackenzie Holmes put the team on her back in the fourth quarter, and will her team to victory? No. But what is as pleasurable as that? Nothing. Second, buying your car from CommunityCars.com. Our friends, Evan Martin and the team. All right. I am on a high and just buzzing. Now, that could also be because in the last 3 days, I've been at a cigar convention in Las Vegas with my father for the cigar store, JR Cigars, Clayton, Missouri, in St. Louis. 314-727-5667. I don't know why I'm giving the number out. I'm just feeling like I'm in a loving spirit. If you need a car, you go to Community Cars. If you need a cigar, you go to JR Cigars. And when you want to listen to someone who just helped lead Indiana women's basketball to its third Sweet 16 in history in an unbelievable game, you come to the Hoosier Hysterics. That's right. Let's meet our first guest.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Hailing from Fishers, Indiana, we are talking to the 2019 Indiana Gatorade State Player of the Year, a McDonald's High School All-American, a Jordan Brand Classic selection. She led her high school team to the state championship her junior year, where, by the way, she scored 30 and grabbed 10 rebounds in that game. No big deal. She was 2020 Indiana Miss Basketball. And then, of course, she committed to Oregon, but came home to Indiana last year, where she has helped lead just an incredible era of Indiana women's basketball. And most importantly, last night, helped lead Indiana past Oklahoma in a tense game from the jump, where Indiana pulled it out to go to the Sweet 16. And in that game, our guest today scored 17 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from three, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. I mean, she did everything possible to help Indiana win that game. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sydney Parrish.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it's the morning after. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty sore, pretty tired, but, you know, it's all worth it. It was a really fun game last night, a great atmosphere. And I think that was just really the perfect end to Mackenzie, Ariel, and Sarah's last game in Assembly Hall.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much to say about the game, and we'll get into that. But I want to know, what happens after the game? What happens after a game like that? We saw some videos in the locker room. There was a water bath that happened for everybody. But what? Walk us through what happens after the game, after the press conference, everything like that.
You know, really, we have like a 24-hour rule. Can't even say 24 hours since it was a late game. You can celebrate it last night, but, you know, today we have to flip the page and start looking at South Carolina, who's obviously a very good team. But, you know, we took it all in last night. It was really fun to be able to celebrate with our coaches, the teams, and then our families. We got to go see them all together, so that was really fun. And then, you know, we really got to just flip the page.
Is your phone just on fire after a game like that? Like, I mean, is it literally getting hot in your hand because it's just being used so much?
I had like 312, I think it was, text messages. And it was just, I was trying to respond to everyone really quickly. But it just shows how, you know, how many fans we have. And just, it's amazing to be back at home, being able to play, because a lot of those people were there to watch me last night. And just so grateful for that.
Now, after Indiana wins a big game, one of my favorite things to do is I go on social media and try to read every comment and look at every clip because it's part of the fun. Do you do that?
I do. I know a lot of people say student athletes should stay off and not try to read everything, but wins and losses, I really go on. It doesn't affect me too much with the negative comments, but especially after big wins like that, I think it's really just fun to see you know, Hoosier Nation and everyone coming together and celebrating and seeing how fun it is to be able to win those big games and seeing all the love that's poured into us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the game itself. 10 ties, 21 lead changes, and a game where it was an uncharacteristic game for Indiana offensively. You know, the shot just wasn't falling. And Oklahoma played incredible defense on Sarah. And when Sarah is unable to get her shots off, it does change the dynamic of the team. You hit 2 threes when we needed them because no one could hit anything. But I mean, how intense was it being in that game from opening tip through the final buzzer?
We knew that it was going to be a tough game. Oklahoma's a really good team. They have great size inside, and they're a great offensive team. You know, 60% of their shots come in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, which is a ridiculous stat. So we knew they were going to push the ball and get shots up, and we tried to slow it down a little bit just to control the pace of the game. But like you said, when they're taking away Sarah's shot, it kind of changes the rhythm of the game. You know, they didn't double Mackenzie. We usually see a double from her every single game. So I think that was a little different coming from her, but just not hitting shots like normal, I think it was really our toughness that got us to the end of the game. Coach said it before the game even started, the tougher team was going to win last night, and I think that was us.
You know, obviously playing at home is an advantage, obviously, and you earn that through how well you play throughout the year, which is one of the things I love about the women's game. But there's a downside to that advantage, at least from a fan's perspective, watching the game yesterday. If a game is close at the end, the anxiety in the room is off the charts.
Yes.
Do you feel like there's an added pressure, too, of playing at home in these big tournament games? Besides the advantage that you gain, it seems like there's even more pressure to perform.
Yeah, I think the pressure really came more from last year's loss. You know, we knew we had that from last year, and it was always kind of in the back of our mind. We were thinking about it. So I think that was more of the pressure than it was hosting. I think Hoosier Nation knew that we needed their help to get to the finish line. They didn't want to see us go down again in the tournament. So, you know, they really helped us last night.
All right. So in the third quarter, you know, you talk about their offense, 60% of their shots in the first 10 seconds. For the most part, you guys were playing great defense and kind of holding them and making them run a little bit more offense than they're used to. But there was a section in that third quarter where that came to fruition. And they go up 45-38 with about 4:30 left in the third. We call a timeout. That felt like a scary moment in the game because it felt like they were starting to hit threes. They were running. We were trying to run with them but weren't keeping up. What was said, what do you remember about that moment in the game and that timeout that kind of stemmed the tide? And then you guys were able to kind of get right back in the game by the end of the third quarter.
I think it was just really trying to keep our composure, you know, not let, we knew there was going to be ebbs and flows in the game. And, you know, they made their run, we made our run, and that was their run. And we knew we just had to, you know, settle down, and we knew we were going to make our run eventually, and which we did. We're really great at the end of games. And I just think that we trust our coaching staff and everything that we've done throughout the season and what they were calling plays for, who they were calling plays for. And we just knew we needed to get stops on the defensive end, and we could score on offense.
All right, so let's go to the end of the game. Yarden had a tough game for most of the game. And then hits just a massive shot. By the way, your dog is so cute. Look at your dog in the back. Oh, it made a little appearance and then backed away.
Oh, yes.
So hits that massive shot. And Yarden just looks like the Terminator out there. Like, she just does not emote at all unless she's pissed off at the refs.
Right.
How big was that moment and that shot?
Oh, huge. I mean, I think you've seen it all year, even last year from Yarden in that Miami game. You know, she's not afraid to take big shots, and we trust her to do so. And she always ends up making them. So we trust her, and she's a confident girl, and we just believe in her every shot she takes.
You know, it's funny, Sid, because I watch every game. I try to pick up on things that, you know, just like camaraderie and chemistry. Right. You and Yarden, when you're on the bench together, you always seem to be talking to her. Like, you guys are always sitting next to each other. You on the surface seem like two opposite human beings. You are emotional out there. You're all over the place. Yarden's more like just a stone cold killer. You're a killer in a different way, and it seems like you like a little trash talking. You just seem so different, but there seems to be a unique connection between you and Yarden. Am I making that up, or has that built over the last 2 years?
No, I don't think you're making that up at all. I think that we do have a special connection. Like you said, we are polar opposite people, but we, you know, we joke, we're always roommates on road trips somehow. Yeah. And it's just so funny because we are polar opposite people. But when it comes to being on the court, I think we are really good communicators in our basketball IQ. I think we both understand the game really well. And, you know, if she sees me doing something wrong or taking a bad shot or having a bad read on a defensive possession, you know, she'll tell me, and we always bounce ideas off of each other. And I think that's a really special connection that Yard and I do have on the court.
So a couple moments more that I want to break down. Mackenzie Holmes running to you at the end of the game while the game is going on. And I think it's after you hit some free throws, right? And she just says to you, "I love you."
Right.
Which I've not seen that in a basketball game before. That was a unique reaction. What did you think when you hear that from Mackenzie at that moment in the game?
You know, it's Mackenzie's emotions. She's a really passionate player, and I think she really meant it, you know? She wanted me to hit those two free throws. And she was like, I just love you. And I think it was her trying to protect Assembly Hall. I don't know if it was 100% her wanting to, you know, go to the Sweet 16, but I think it was her last time in Assembly, and you could tell she just didn't want to go down without a fight, and she just wanted to leave Assembly with a win.
You said in the press conference that there were even times in timeouts where you kind of had to keep Mac down a little bit.
Yes.
Was that throughout the game, or was it mostly at the end of the game?
No, I think it was pretty much throughout the game. A couple times she would get really passionate, and me and Coach were like, okay, Mac, we got it. We're going to be okay. Like, we need to take a deep breath. It's just her passion. She just plays so hard and she cares so much. And it's just a funny moment that we can laugh about probably today.
It's the best. Another one. Sarah Scalia does not show that much emotion on the court for the most part. But last night, after she hit her free throws, she looks to the crowd and she's getting the crowd hyped up. I have not seen that side of Sarah. Have you seen that side of her? And what does it mean to kind of see her break out of her shell a little bit?
Yeah, I think we really only saw that this season. It started to come out. And I think that's just her confidence, being comfortable on her team, being comfortable, you know, with her action. She's just grown to be this amazing shooter, this amazing player with this confidence that just kind of radiates and leads into us and pours into us. And, you know, she didn't get flustered not shooting how she normally shoots in a game, not getting her looks. And I think that's the growth of Sarah. You know, I think the last year she would have, you know, stepped down and not really helped on the defensive end down the stretch. And she made game-winning free throws down the stretch that, you know, we tried to get the ball into her hands because we know she can hit those free throws in pressure situations. But it is so cool to be able to see her emotion on the court because she is such a special player and she deserves to get that place hype.
In the press conference after the game, you were asked a question about how much it meant to help Mac win her last game at Assembly Hall. And you clearly were about to get emotional. I'm not trying to make you cry on this, but I want to kind of turn it a little bit. You already talked about how much it meant for Mac and you guys to win that game for her. But this is a massive game for you. You went to Oregon coming out of high school and you made the decision to come back home. This is why you come back home, to play in games like this, in front of crowds like that, to win in moments like this. I mean, we're only, what, 12 hours away from the game right now? Like, not even? Have you been able to process the decision to come back to Indiana and playing in front of your family and friends and in your state, how much that means to you to go to the Sweet 16, only the third Sweet 16 in the history of the program?
Yeah, I thought about it a little bit because one of the media people asked me, like, hey, this is your second Sweet 16. How does it feel to be able to go to two? And I sometimes forget that I, you know, went to a Sweet 16. I was a freshman.
Year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I was a freshman in the bubble. There was no fans. I couldn't hug my family and friends after. I had no friends there. It was just my parents. Not full. I mean, there wasn't, I don't know how many people we had last night. There wasn't 15,000 people in the stands. There was maybe 200. And you know, it was a really, really sad and depressing time. And we were locked up in our hotel rooms for 3 weeks straight where I couldn't even hug my family members or my teammates, you know, where we had to get COVID tested every day. So this one's definitely really special, not only because I get to be with my friends and family after the game, but because I get to wear Indiana across my chest. And being the only girl from Indiana, it definitely made it a lot more special.
One more person I want you to comment on, because we've seen her growth, I mean, really explosion of her growth in the last 2 years, but we've watched her now for four. Chloe, who was a timid, quiet, you know, player, I think that was happy for other people to kind of take control. There are moments in many games, especially last night's game, where Chloe took control of the team. There was a play where she grabbed a rebound, and then I don't remember who she pushed, but
oh,
she
I...
She pushed someone up the court, like, get away. This is what needs to happen. And another time, I think she pushed Jules on defense because Jules was over helping and she just pushed her into the right place. What have you just seen in your 2 years with Chloe kind of blossoming into a leader on the team?
You know, I wasn't with Chloe before. I don't know Chloe any different. You know, this is all I know from Chloe. But as I've heard, you know, she was really timid. And I know she didn't get minutes like she does now. I mean, she plays 40-minute games almost every single game, which is unbelievably impressive. But she is such a leader. She's a true point guard and she takes control of the team. And, you know, coach trusts her to do that. And I think that's a really special connection that those two have. And I'm so grateful that I get another year with her next year. And it's really cool to see how everyone loves Chloe because she is an insane player. And I can't believe she came from being committed to Tennessee Tech to being an all Big Ten player. So she's just amazing.
Look, you've won a high school championship. You were Miss Basketball in the state of Indiana. But you are playing in front of an average of over 10, 11,000 fans a night on a team that is one of the best. Well, we can say it. You are one of the best 16 teams in the country now. You are in the Sweet 16. But you've been one of the best teams in the country the last 2 years. Have you ever had more fun playing basketball than what you are doing right now?
No, not at all. I'd say the last 2 years have been just a huge jump in my collegiate career, my basketball career. You know, I came to Indiana to have fun again, to love basketball again. And that's what Indiana basketball gave me. That's what Coach Morin gave me and the girls on my team gave me. It's just been so much fun. And Coach said it before the game. She's like, you guys play so well when you're having fun. And I think that everyone saw that last night. You know, we're competitive, we're fierce, but we just play with a lot of joy and have fun while doing it.
Well, the fun ain't over because I got to say, there's nothing more fun than going against the team that everybody thinks is the prohibitive favorite. They're undefeated. They're number one. Dawn Staley's done an amazing job. Great program. But you get to go, you know, play against the number one team in the country in a game that will have all the eyes on it, you know, in this tournament. How excited are you just for this opportunity?
Yeah, it is an opportunity. It's so fun. You know, it's a really, really talented team with an amazing coaching staff who I've gotten to know really well. You know, their point guard I played with at Oregon for 2 years. So we're really close friends. So we were texting in our group chat. Every girl that transferred from Oregon in my class, three of us are going to be in Albany together. So, so we're going to
I think you guys made the right decision.
Yeah, I'm like staring at a picture of us right now, like all together. Literally.
That's funny. Let's see
it. It's like, so.
Oh, that's great.
Kylie plays for Notre Dame. Tahina's the point guard on South Carolina. And then, that's me. Maddie, she plays for Kentucky, but she's going to be there. She's flying out.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
but
really
it's just going to be a lot of fun. I mean, to have the opportunity to play against who is the best team in the country right now is going to be great. And I know our coaches are going to get us prepared and we're ready to see what comes.
Real quick, how are you feeling? I mean, obviously you've had some injuries that you've had to battle through this year. You looked good on the court yesterday, couldn't see anything, but how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. The 2 weeks that we had between the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament were massive for me. I feel like a totally different person than I did prior to the Big Ten tournament. So I'm feeling really, really good.
I do have to ask, on Selection Sunday, when they showed the picture of you, you're in a boot on Selection Sunday. Are you wearing a boot now, like when you're not playing?
Yeah, I'm in a boot, I guess, till the end of the year.
Just for precautionary reasons?
Yeah, I had a stress fracture in my foot, so I've been trying to battle through that, and it's going pretty well. I mean, we see bone growth, so that's good. So, you know, just precautionary, get some pressure off of it while I'm walking, going to class, doing that kind of thing. So,
I mean, I don't know anything about, you know, health and wellness, but why not put the entire team in two boots?
Right.
Like,
I agree.
Precautionary.
I mean, I feel like how bizarre. I know me and Lexi are, and everyone's like, why are you guys in boots? I'm like, we've been in a boot for like 3 months this year.
Wow. Yeah. So, I think everybody should wear the boot all all the time. Why not?
If that's gonna get us to be South Carolina, then I agree.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on and taking time the morning after. Sid, you're so much fun to watch play. You just embody everything that Indiana basketball is about. You leave every ounce of you out on the court every single time you play. You're playing at an unbelievably high level. We're so happy you're coming back, but this year ain't over. So I can't wait for Friday. Rest up, stay in that boot, and tell everybody on that team and your staff, we are rooting like hell for you guys. Keep it going.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Sid, be good.
Thank you.
That was our guest.
How can you not love Sidney Parrish? I mean, we are like less than 12 hours after this monumental win. Now they've got to look towards the number one team in the country, maybe one of the best teams ever on Friday. And she takes the time to come talk to me to talk about this unbelievable game and this unbelievable moment in Indiana women's basketball. I mean, only one time in the history of Indiana women's basketball have they made it further than the Sweet 16. This is only the third Sweet 16 ever. I love her. She's amazing. I love this team. I love Terry Morin. I love Mac. I love them all. I just absolutely love them. And now we have to get ready for Friday's game. You know the best way to get game ready for Friday? That's right. Get game ready. You know how? By supporting our newest sponsor. You may notice, if you're watching this on video, I am wearing this beautiful Indiana Hoosiers t-shirt. Great quality, super soft, but feels like high quality, like it's going to last forever. That's because our newest sponsor is Alumni Hall. It's the newest gear merchandise shop in Bloomington. It's right on Kirkwood in Washington. We've gone there. We bought some cardigans last time we were in town. Bow ties, button-down shirts. Looked like $1 million. No big deal. Don't want to get into it. But Alumni Hall, our newest sponsor, you have to go there. If you go in-store and you're a student, a faculty, or military, just bring your ID. You get 10% off. They got everything. They've got all the brands that you could ever possibly want. All the stuff that you see online, like the more boutique-y stuff, the mass marketed stuff, hats, bottles, bow ties, cardigans, sweaters, hoodies, t-shirts, pants, shorts, swim trunks, anything you could possibly want, you have at Alumni Hall. Ward and I, every time we go back, we always hit all the usual suspects. And the truth is, we've always been a little disappointed. We're like, there's cooler stuff online, or how come I don't have the right sizes, or the selection just isn't that varied. Alumni Hall, we went into by accident because we didn't even know it was there, and we just loved it. We're like, holy crap, they've got everything. So Alumni Hall is the place to go. And if you can't go in the store, go online, www.alumnihall.com/Indiana-Hoosiers. www.alumnihall.com/Indiana-Hoosiers. Now, you might be asking, which slash is it? I don't know. This is like a thing for me. I don't know the difference between backwards and forward slash. I don't know the difference. But it's alumnihall.com, one of those slashes, Indiana-Hoosiers. And you will find everything you need to get game ready for Friday, where the Indiana women's basketball team faces the number one team in the country, South Carolina, and we are going to give them their first loss and shock the world. Get game ready with Alumni Hall. All right, let's move on to our second guest. This is a two-for-one episode. You just got Sidney Parrish, one of the stars that helped lead Indiana to its third Sweet 16 in history, and now we're going to turn to the men's side, where we get to have another conversation that we similar to the one we had last week. Last week, we broke a little news on the podcast, so we figured, why not do that again? That's right. Time to listen to guest numero dos.
Here comes our guest.
Hailing from Centerville, Ohio, where he attended Centerville High School, where he was a state champion as he led his team coached by his legendary father. He was part of the Midwest Basketball Club. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. He was 2022 Mr. Basketball in the state of God, I almost said Indiana. That's how much this guy makes me think that he's a true Hoosier. He was Mr. Basketball in the state of Ohio in 2022. He, of course, chose to come to Indiana University, where this year, his freshman year, he played in every single game this season and started in 22 of 33 games, when I am sure that was not the original plan. And we will get into all of that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to a guy who there is no question. He leaves everything out on the court every single time he plays. He has quickly become a fan favorite for that exact reason. Please welcome the human ant, Gabe Dupps.
Thank you.
How you doing, Gabe?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I like how your face lights up when I say human ant. We don't need to get into it. People can go look it up on their own, but that's, we're still trying to get that off the ground as your nickname. All right, man. Well, here we are. We're recording this on Friday. We're in the first weekend of March Madness. You're a basketball fan and a high-level basketball player. How much do you love this time of the year, and how much does it kill you that you're not playing in it right now?
Yeah, it definitely kills me, you know, that we're not playing. I would much rather be at a hotel, you know, in between our games, watching the games. But, you know, I've always loved March Madness growing up. It's my favorite time of the year. So I've been locked into the TV for the last 2 days. Just wish we were playing it.
We got to talk about this. Kentucky lost yesterday, gets beat by Oakland. This dude goes off for 10 threes. You are a Hoosier. Even though you didn't play Kentucky and you haven't gotten a taste of that rivalry, you know how much we have to hate Kentucky. Do you as a player, do you feel bad for the Kentucky players, or do you as a Hoosier feel a little good that they lost?
I feel bad for Reed.
That's right. He's your good friend, right?
And he's one of my best friends. So I felt bad for him. And I feel bad for my bracket too. I was rooting for Reed and, you know, his team. I wanted them to do well. So, but it was a crazy game. That dude shot the lights out. It's a tough one.
That dude is unbelievable. Who do you have in your final four in your bracket?
I think I got UConn, Houston, Tennessee, and St. Mary's.
Oh, there's the dark horse, St. Mary's. How much does the fact that you played again? And then wait, before I ask this question, who do you have winning the whole thing?
UConn.
All right. So how much of the fact that you got to play against UConn and see them up close and personal weighs into you picking them to win?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a lot different filling out my bracket this year as compared to other years. Just, you know, seeing some of the guys and playing against some of the teams that are in there, I think it was a lot different. And it, you know, I thought it made it a little bit easier having a firsthand experience. And I thought UConn was really good when we played them at the beginning of the year, and I think they've only gotten better. So, yeah, that kind of went into me picking them to win it.
Do you think UConn was the best team you played this year?
Yeah, I would say either them or Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn is strong. But you picked them not to make it. They're not making it to the Final Four.
Yeah, they have to run into UConn early. So
Got it. I'm surprised maybe you didn't pick Nebraska to win the whole damn thing, because they let's just say we had our troubles with Nebraska this year.
We did. Yeah, they're good.
They are. I mean, look, I want to get to this. We got a lot to talk about, but let's just talk about Tominaga for a second, because look, I have to hate him because he plays for somebody else, but he's a fun player to watch. I mean, he just is. What is it like guarding him? You had to guard him a lot over those three games, playing against him, scouting him. Like, what is the plan going in against him? Because he just seems like, if he's on, he just seems unguardable.
Yeah, I mean, the plan always is to try to not let him shoot, try to not let him get shots off. But, you know, that's a very tough thing to do. They run a lot of motion and a lot of good offense, so it's tough to stay connected to him when he's running off of double staggers and single pin downs and stuff like that. So, you know, I think I could have done a couple of things better, but, you know, you just got to make him take tough shots. And if he hits them, you got to be able to live with it. But, you know, I think in other games, not against us, he always shoots well against us, it seems like, but in other games, he kind of takes those tough shots and it kind of hurts them as a team. So you just got to try to make them take tough ones and live with it.
Totally. All right. So we are, you know, a week plus into the off season. Is the Breakfast Club still happening? Are we still going in every morning?
Yeah, it is.
And do you have a different manager that goes with you for each one, or does a manager even go with you for each one?
Yeah. So there's kind of a group of, you know, managers that have kind of become like the Breakfast Club. So they all come in with me each morning, and you know, I have a group chat with them, text them what time, you know, the day before. So it's good. It's a good, you know, morality building thing, I think, too. And I think, you know, we need to get some guys going in with me, too.
Yeah. Do you have any teammates who have become Breakfast Club partners?
We got a couple in the works. I think, you know, Ja'Kai has been, you know, on me, like when I get healthy, I'm going to come in with you in the morning. So I'm looking forward to, you know, I think once one guy comes with me, then, you know, guys see that and then they know they can join me too. So I think it'll be good.
All right. Before we kind of break down the season, we do need to get rid of a piece of business. I know you're not a guy who's all about you. You don't want like big ballyhoo or anything like that, but we live in an age where the expectation is now either you go into the portal or it's a big deal that you stay. Have you made your decision on what's happening next year for your basketball career?
Yeah. I mean, when I committed to Indiana, I committed. So, you know, I'm here for last season. I'm here for this season. So, you know, we're going to get this thing back on the right track, and, you know, I'm all here for it.
I love that. So, you know, we talked to Malik we're recording this on Friday. We talked to Malik yesterday. Malik was honest. You know, it was a real decision for him. He's been here 2 years. And obviously, Gabe, Malik comes from further away from Miami. I think there's other considerations there. For you, it seems like it wasn't even really a consideration. You committed. This is where you're going to be. But is it because of the world we live in now? Is it a conversation that you had to have with the coaches, like at the end of the year, to say, I am planning on coming back? And if you did, how did that meeting go?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, coaches, as the transfer portal has gotten bigger, you know, I think they start to get a feel on what guys are planning on doing. So it's kind of just a confirmation of what they think. But, you know, I think it's been good. All the meetings I've had with coaches, you know, they've told me what I need to get better at, and told me kind of what I did well and what I can do better. So I think all my talks with them have been beneficial to me for sure.
One of the things that we have grown to know about Woody, Coach Woodson, that I admire, is he is not afraid to tell everybody what they need to work on, including the best players on the team, you know, and down to whoever is the 17th player on the team. But he did it to Trayce Jackson-Davis before Trayce Jackson-Davis even had agreed to come back. He told him, here's what you need to work on, and here's what I'm going to help you with. What are the things, the main priorities for you going into this offseason that you and the coaches kind of agree on that you need to shore up?
I think the biggest thing they got on me about was just, you know, training myself to have an aggressive mindset, especially offensively. You know, they trust my work and my skill to be able to go make plays. And I think I questioned that myself a couple of times this year. So they really just said that I need to be aggressive. And then, you know, they said working on my shot, making sure it's consistent, and then just, you know, getting better at reading the floor, you know, whether that's ball screens or just knowing where everybody's going to be at. And I think, you know, that'll come with me kind of having a year of a lot of experience with Coach Woodson's system and how they want me to play and what's acceptable and what's not. So
you said there was things that you questioned yourself about the aggressive style. Did you find yourself throughout the year hesitant at times that surprised you? Because that is, you know, everything we've ever seen about you from high school, from AAU, that's not you. I mean, you are an aggressive leader on the court. What do you think made you question those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly just the change. You know, my whole life I've been coached by my dad. So by the time I got to high school and by the time I was playing AAU for him, I knew exactly what he wanted. And, you know, coming to Indiana, Coach Woodson obviously communicated what he wants with the team. But, you know, that was my entire life with my dad of knowing exactly what he wants. So I think, you know, that's why I said the experience this year and, you know, the time with being around the coaches and around the program will really help me. So I think I'll be a lot better at it next year.
Have you turned into, I know you were doing this when you had committed as a high school student, you turned into kind of a recruiter for us as well. Have you now turned into a recruiter in the transfer portal as we start reaching out to a bunch of guys, and I'm sure visits are going to be set up in the coming weeks. Is that a role that you are taking on as well, knowing that you're coming back next year?
Yeah, I mean, anybody, any way I can help, I make sure I'm there. Anybody that I see, you know, that we're hosting for a visit or something, I'll reach out to them. And, you know, I'm here trying to make Indiana the best it can possibly be. So that's a piece. And we need great guys that are going to help us win.
How much did it mean to you to have guys like Trey, Anthony, and now Malik, you know, make public statements that they support this coach, this program, and they are coming back?
Yeah, it's huge. I think, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we need to build our culture and, you know, having a core group of guys that have been through Indiana before is super important to kind of help the new guys and, you know, kind of show them how we do things. And then, you know, I think we can all mesh well together and, you know, just help each other succeed.
You talked about consistency, which is obviously like the most important thing in sports, you know, and you were consistent in maybe the most important way, which was reliable, durable. Like they could call on you. You were there. You played in every game. You talked about your shot. And obviously there were inconsistencies with your shot this year. I mean, I don't think that's a shock or insulting to say. It did seem like you started figuring it out a little bit more at the end of the year. Your percentage, you shot right around 36% from three, which for a freshman being thrown into the Big Ten is pretty good, actually. But you could tell that there was inconsistencies with your shot. As you work on your shot, is it a mechanical thing? Like, are you looking to change anything in your shot, or is it just trying to hone in on what you do and make sure that what you do happens every single time you shoot?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. I am trying to change a little bit of my mechanics just to, you know, help it be more consistent. So I think the mechanics will help me kind of with the second part that you said of just having it be this exact same every time. And, you know, hopefully it can help me in the future.
All right. Now I'm going to say something that probably is lunacy because I'm just an insane Indiana fan. It looked like you were tweaking a little bit throughout the season, your shot. And it looked like at times at the end of the year, the shot looked somewhat reminiscent of Jordan Hull's technique and shooting. Now, am I just trying to see that? Or is there some Jordy influence on your shot and the mechanics?
I don't know, like, in this season, but I have been with Jordy a lot since we've been done with the season, and he's been one of the main guys that's been helping me with my shot mechanics now. So maybe in the future you'll see it a little bit more. I don't know about this season.
All right, that's fair. And when you work with a Jordy, is it all on the court, him watching you, working on mechanics, do this differently, hold it differently, launch it differently? Or do you study film of your shot and kind of talk about it intellectually as well?
I mean, I think with coaches and stuff, it's mostly on the court, like them kind of watching me shoot, and they'll stop it and be like, okay, that rep wasn't good. Just so I can get a feel of, you know, okay, that feeling was good, that feeling was bad. And then I think going back and watching, you know, the game films, I think I do that, you know, kind of by myself and just seeing how I can improve not only my shot, but different areas of my game too.
Got it. All right. So let's go back to the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year starts off pretty well. You've got a role on the team. You're coming off the bench. Xavier's the starting point guard. We know all about your battles leading up to that in practice. We talked to you before the season, and you talked about how great it is to kind of compete against somebody as fast and strong and big as Xavier. What was it like to just run out to on the floor of Assembly Hall your first game wearing the candy stripes and in front of, you know, well over 15,000 people cheering for Indiana?
Yeah, it was sweet. It was kind of like, it felt like I wasn't really like in it.
Like an out of body experience type thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it didn't really feel like real. And then as it started, you know, happening more and more, I was like, yeah, I'm really like playing in front of all these people and playing for Indiana. Like, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Was there a moment that you remember at all at the early on, like your first couple times in? Is there any moment that stands out to you as like, oh my God, I'm wearing the Indiana jersey, I'm playing in Assembly Hall? Is there any moment that sticks out in particular?
I don't know what game it was, but I remember we were stretching in pregame and I looked up like where my parents sit and my mom like waved to me and stuff. And so that kind of like, it was pretty.
Like at that moment you realized, oh my God, my mom and dad are here at Assembly Hall watching me wearing an Indiana jersey about to play for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Like just knowing that they've got to feel pretty good about how they raised me and, you know, the values that they taught me and stuff and how it's led me and my family here.
So the season starts and it, you know, like I said, it's going decently well. Some tough games that maybe we should have won by more, but you know, the team's figuring it out. X is coming off of an injury where he was out for, you know, half the season last year, more 2/3 of the season. And he's still kind of feeling his way out. And then we play some big games. We play against UConn, like you said. They're excellent. They beat us. We play against Louisville and have a great comeback in that game to win that game. First, what was it like to play in New York City in that environment, even though the first game didn't go well?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think just being in the city and then just knowing how many great players have played, you know, in New York, it's pretty cool. And, you know, obviously the arena's huge, so it's definitely something that I haven't experienced before. So I thought it was pretty sweet.
Wasn't there some special guests that Woody brought in? I mean, obviously Woody has a deep ties to New York. Didn't Isaiah Thomas come to that game and was in the locker room and talk to you guys?
Yeah, he was at like our dinner when we first got in New York, and that was awesome. Just having him talk to us, you know, and he kept it real with us about how we were playing and stuff. So,
Hard on you guys? Was he being hard on you?
Yeah, I mean, he told us what he thought, and you know, I thought it was great. It was good.
Did he get fired up?
Yeah, he definitely did.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right, so then the injury happens to X. He gets hurt 6 games into the season. He tries to tough it out against Harvard, I believe, but it doesn't really work out so well for him. And then he's really got to take a step back and he's out for a while. And you get your first career start, which also happens to be your first career Big Ten game against Maryland. What were there nerves for you going into that first start where you realized X is now gone and the point guard duties are going to fall on you? What was that like for you emotionally?
I wouldn't say I was nervous. I was just excited, you know, to have the opportunity to be able to play more and start, you know. Obviously I think we're a better team when we had X. So, you know, I knew I was going to have to try to step up in any way I could. But it was cool, you know, getting announced for starting lineups and stuff like that. So I thought that part of it was cool. But once you're in the game, it's just, it's the game. It doesn't have any effect on me if I'm starting or coming off the bench. It's just a game.
So there was never a part of you that was like, man, I thought I was going to have a year to kind of be a role player and learn this. And now you didn't feel any additional pressure or anything because you're such a competitor. You just kind of wanted it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't you want to play more and, you know, right. experience more? You know, I'm just trying to become the best basketball player and best person I can. And I think, you know, whatever happens, it happens for a reason. So just no reason to complain or shy away from the opportunity. Just go all at it.
Well, you did. You helped lead the team to a 2-0 start, one win against Maryland at home. Then you go on the road to Michigan, and you're starting now your first Big Ten road game. You win that game. You start 2-0. Things are actually looking pretty good. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, Michigan's not the most hostile environment, but you played in some really hostile environments this year. What was the most hostile environment, and what was that like for you?
I would say Purdue. I mean, everybody kind of said they were like that the arena and that the feel is just different there too, especially when you're Indiana coming in. But, you know, I really had no idea until, you know, the game actually started. And, I mean, it was cool. Obviously, the game didn't go how we wanted it to, but the atmosphere is something that's amazing.
Does it affect you? Is it like even on like very specific things? Like, is it harder to just communicate with your team and like get into position and know where things are going to go and call a play, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest challenge really is just communicating. You know, I was on the ball a couple of times and you couldn't hear guys call screens and stuff because everybody's going crazy, especially if they're going on a run. It's hard to hear, but as like outside of that, I don't really think it's that much of a difference. Cause like I said, I'm just focused on the game, focused on trying to do what's best for the team. So that's the only thing my mind's on.
You know, I don't want to skip to the end, but I am going to here. You had some comments at the end of the year that like kind of were heartbreaking because they were so hard on yourself. You know, I think that when you were asked by some reporter about the X injury and this season, and you kind of took it on yourself that you were just disappointed that you weren't able to give the team more. I think it was, I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically what you said. How do you balance being that hard on yourself throughout the year with also realizing like, you got to stay positive. You are a leader on this team now on the court because you are the point guard. Obviously, Trey took on some point guard duties as well, splitting them with you. But how do you stay out of a frustration mindset when things aren't going the way you want, both individually and for the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think my mindset is really like, I can be hard on myself because I know I can handle it. And I know that me being hard on myself is really just motivation for me to do better in the future. So yeah. Like when I'm saying that after the game, like all that's on my mind is how hard I'm going to work throughout the summer, how much better I'm going to get. And, you know, I think if you don't have those setbacks and you're just always, you know, acting like everything's sunshine and rainbows, then, you know, you don't have any drive or any hunger to get better. And, you know, I think my dad always told me in high school, like, everything's your fault. So like, like so if this guy's not in the right spot, or if this guy, you know, doesn't get a rebound, like it's on you, it's your fault. So I think, you know, I wrote a book, Extreme Ownership, and it talks about the same thing. Like, if you know you can handle it, you can take ownership for that stuff and, you know, kind of take it off of some other guys if they need that and, you know, you can handle whatever comes with it.
That's really interesting. Indiana fans might kill me for this, but you played against Braden Smith and Purdue twice. And look, you can't avoid the comparisons people will make. You're a point guard. You're from the Midwest. You went to Indiana. Braden's from Indiana. Braden obviously has taken a huge leap from his freshman to sophomore year, where he's one of the best point guards in the country. Is there anything that you take from kind of looking at his game? You know, obviously you had to guard him too when you were playing them, but is he a guy that you look at and kind of go, okay, well, he did this freshman year to sophomore year. I can do this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, not even just him, but, you know, I think just looking at guys freshman year and then seeing how much they've improved, you know, I definitely think it's possible, and it's something that I can do with a lot of work, and I'm willing to do the work. And I think, you know, Braden's obviously a great player, but I would say the biggest thing that I took from him is just like his steadiness. You know, he never seemed like he got rattled, really. Right. So I thought that was a great thing for me to see. But you know, he's very patient. Plays off of two really well, uses shot fakes really well. And then, you know, he can obviously deliver great passes that create stuff for other guys and create stuff for himself. So,
you know, you talked about you played for your dad basically your whole life. You've also been either, you know, the number one or number two guy on every team that you've played on basically in recent years. I mean, you know, when you play with Reed Shepard, it's tough to be the number one guy, but you were the facilitator also on that team. And you've always had a ton of success, state championships, playing in state title games, getting far in AAU. Was it frustrating for you personally on an individual level that you couldn't do the things that you were used to doing on a basketball court?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's something that every guy coming to a high major school deals with, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody's the number one guy. If you're coming to a school of this caliber, so I think everybody has to figure out and settle into their different roles. You gotta do what's best for the team, and you gotta be okay with that. Or, you know, not there's like two, maybe three guys that, you know, average a bunch of points or anywhere near those guys did in high school. So, you know, you can't expect to do the exact same things in high school as college because it's a different level of basketball.
And you had that mindset coming in, so you had some perspective on it.
Yeah.
What was your personal highlight of the year? If you could point to one moment, it doesn't have to be like something you did, but from a team perspective, anything, what was the high point of the year?
I mean, I would say at the end of the year going on that win streak. And I really think, you know, beating Penn State was great for me and for the team. You know, after losing to them twice in the regular season, coming out and beating those guys was a good moment for us and a good moment for me too, because Ace had, you know, kind of kicked my ass two times before that. So I think that was a highlight for me for sure.
It was also a great game for you. 6 points in that game on two threes, you know, and hitting multiple threes in a game is not easy. And that had to give you confidence. And I agree that that's a team that has just, even before you got there, you know, that's been a team that's just kind of owned us for a little bit. So winning that game. Also, how great was that moment for Anthony Leal? Just having that moment. Can you just kind of put us in, for those not watching this but listening to it, Gabe's face just lit up about thinking about that moment. What was that like for you as his teammate, and what was it like in the locker room afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I was on the bench, and I see him kind of cutting in from the corner, and, you know, it came off, and he put it in, and I was just like, dude, please miss this shot. Like, don't, I think it was Puff that shot it. Like, I was like, please don't make that so I can run on the court. And so he missed, and I just ran over to him. I was like, let's go, baby. You do this. But yeah, it's great. And there's no better person for that to happen to. And, you know, it's just a result of him always always staying ready and always just keeping a steady mind on what needs to be done at that exact moment. You know, a lot of guys would have just watched the ball go up and have that been the last play of the game. But, you know, him just being focused on what needs to happen at that moment, you know, he saw a chance to go to the offensive boards and that's what he did.
That's awesome. How important is Anthony's leadership in the locker room, especially in the face of, you know, it's kind of easy to be a leader when you're winning. You know, winning solves a lot. But when things are frustrating and tough, and look, let's not kid ourselves, there was stuff that happened off the court too that wasn't great, you know, and tough to go through just personally. How important was Anthony's leadership throughout the year?
Yeah, for me personally, it was really important. Just him being around the program for multiple years. And then, you know, him and I have built a really good relationship. So he was there to just help me out and, you know, just give me words of encouragement when things were seeming down and just like talking me up when things were going well. But as a team, you know, I think he offers a lot of leadership just based on how he acts and how he does everything in his life, not only basketball. And I think, you know, a lot of what I take from it is nobody can ever complain about not playing when Anthony Lill's right there. Mm. Like he does everything right. And, you know, first half of the season, he didn't play. And right. He never said a single word.
More than that, Gabe, first half of this season and the three entire years before it.
Yeah. I mean, he just never complained once about it. So to me, that completely eliminates anybody being able to say like, oh, I should be playing more, because you know he's a good player. And when he got in and when he played, he made stuff happen. And, you know, it obviously showed up later in the year that he was one of our most important guys.
For sure. When we had Malik on, Malik talked about that 5-game win streak at the end of the year, that something clearly had changed, that you guys, he thought that you started trusting each other more and playing for each other more, whereas earlier in the year, that was not the case. Did you feel a similar transition or light switch go on for those 5 games? And why do you think that happened in that stretch?
Yeah, I think that describes it perfectly. What Malik said, you know, I think we did start to trust each other more and play for each other. And I think it's just the relationships that we built with each other. You know, we had a lot of new guys on the team, myself being one of them. And, you know, that it takes time to build trust with guys. Trust doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, throughout the season and throughout our low points in the season is where, you know, I think we really came together and started trusting each other more, which allowed us to be better later in the season.
You got to play alongside Khalil Ware, who had a just awesome season. And he got better as the season went on and really became a dominant force in some games, just purely unstoppable. What was it like to kind of see his improvement from kind of day one of practice in the summer through where he ended up as, you know, second team all Big Ten?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think a lot of his progress obviously was shown on the court, but, you know, I think a lot of it was just based on how he thought about things and his mental approach to the game too. I saw that improve a lot over the course of the season. And, you know, I think everybody gets better when guys are connected and when guys are playing well. And, you know, Khalil, obviously a great player, and he's going to be great whatever he does.
That's awesome. All right, let's talk about these posters that are behind you, because I feel like they are informative. You have 3 posters on your wall. I believe the first one that I'm only seeing a piece of, is that Larry Bird?
Yeah, Larry Legend.
Larry Legend. So is he your favorite player?
No, but I mean,
are you going to tell me LeBron's your favorite player?
No, I would say Jordan.
There we go. All right. But Legend.
Larry's a pretty sweet player. I watch.
Now, you know, Larry is known, besides being just a dead eye shooter and just so skilled in everything, one of the greatest trash talkers in the history of basketball.
Yeah.
Is that part of the game that you partake in?
I would say I partake in like weird trash talk. I'm not like a big, like, you're gonna see me trash talk, but like I'll just say stuff, you know, to guys where like only we could hear it. That's like, that would just make them like be like, what? Like,
give me an example. I need to know an example of what weird trash talking is. Cause one time I had somebody on the show and I suggested that they tickle the opponent. And
yeah,
I thought that would weird them out. And that didn't go over well. And I admit it. I take ownership of that. That was a big mistake on my part. But give me an example of a weird trash talk.
Like just something to distract them or like make them, you know, kind of lose focus of the game. Like maybe I'll walk up to a guy like as they're taking the ball out and I'm pressing full court, but like, your shoe's untied. Like, look down at his shoe. It's not untied. Like just something to like, just something to make them think about something different.
That's good. I like that.
I don't know if it helps anything, but it's kind of fun for me to do.
Yeah, it's entertaining. Oh, man, we got to get you mic'd during a game. I like that. All right, second poster, the Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
Yeah.
Nice. Rocky, probably
Rocky 4, Rocky 5.
Whoa. I'll give you Rocky 4, beating Ivan Drago. The Russian training montage is the greatest scene in the history of movies.
Yeah, that's definitely the best training scene of all time.
But are you telling me that you love Rocky V, where it's the street fight with Tommy Morrison on the street? Tommy Gunn?
Is that Rocky V?
Yes. What did you think Rocky V was?
Are you sure?
I would bet almost everything that is.
I need to look it up right now.
Well, wait, before you look it up, what do you think Rocky V is?
Yeah, this is not.
Wait, are you talking about the Rocky where he fights Antonio Tarver?
Who's Antonio Tarver?
Yeah, okay, fair. He was a boxer. He was a real boxer for a while. And there was Rocky IV, Russia. Rocky V is Tommy Gunn.
No, I'm thinking 3 and 4.
Okay, 3 with Mr. T.
Yeah, with Clubber Lang.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you Clubber Lang. Yes.
I got him flipped around. I was doing 4 and 5, not 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Okay, I will give you those. Clubber Lang is a scary son of a bitch. Scary. Yeah. I still have like bad feelings about when in Rocky 3, Rocky's doing a press conference and Clubber Lang comes into the crowd and tells him like, maybe when I beat you, I'll take your wife and show her what a real man is. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
That killed me. Like, I must talk to Rocky that way.
Yeah.
So do you, Rocky, look, is the classic underdog story, works harder than everybody gets to the top. Is that kind of how you see yourself?
A little bit. My dad's just a big Rocky fan. And he wanted my name to be Rocky.
Really?
My mom shut it down.
I think your mom was right on that one. But did
I don't know. Rocky Cups kind of seems sweet.
But why not? What's your middle name?
Lewis.
That's weak. Sorry, it's probably like a family name, right?
Yeah, it is.
I just insulted your whole family. But Gabe Rocky Cups would have been good.
Yeah, that would be decent.
Did your dad ever call you Rocky?
No, he always called me Bud.
Bud?
Yeah.
Does he still call you Bud?
Yeah.
Does anyone else outside of the family call you Bud?
I don't think so.
What does Woody call you? We know he's famous for kind of playing with names a little bit.
He calls me Gabe, but he calls everybody son.
Right. Know? Yeah. He's just from that generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, he calls me kind of like he calls Gallo Crazy Man.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but I think he's kind of bestowing that on me a little bit.
Oh, too. You're Crazy Man because of the work ethic?
Yeah, and just like I'm always very energetic. I think he, you know, sees that I'm a little off the wall.
I get it. And then the third poster, is that, I can't tell, is it Muhammad Ali?
It is.
Are you a boxing fan overall?
No, I don't watch boxing really, but I think the mentality of boxing is pretty sweet. Like yeah. that one is, it says fighter like under his name, and then it defines fighter as one who fights, one who makes their way through struggle, or one who engages in battle.
Very nice. Those are strong posters to have up, man. I like it. All right.
Zach Bryan song back there.
Let's leave Zach Bryan off. Which song?
Overtime.
Give me the first couple lyrics there.
So up there it says, I want to stay humble, want to stay hungry, want to hear my father say that he loves me. I never gave a shit about being arrogant anyway, so hold on tight because I'll be working overtime. They told me that I couldn't and I shouldn't even try. Ever since I was a child, been working for a while overtime.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good, that's good walk-up music for you.
Yeah, my sister got me that for Christmas, and it's got a bunch of like pictures of me in the background.
Oh, I can't tell. That's awesome. That's really nice. That's really great. Those four things up make a lot of sense for who you are. Let's talk about outside of basketball. What was your first year like in Bloomington? Did you get to enjoy the campus and kind of being a student athlete in Bloomington?
I mean, I got to enjoy like the food places.
What do you like?
I mean, my go-tos are probably Dave's hot chicken.
Nice.
I like Five Guys a lot. So I'm
not really a Bloomington place, but
yeah. But then, you know, Buffalo's is always solid.
All right, got to ask you, what's your order at Buffalo's?
So I get a double cheeseburger.
See, Malik talked about the cheeseburger too. It's the burgers at Buffalo's are slept on. Those are good.
Very underrated. So yeah. I get a double cheeseburger, and then I get 15 boneless wings and some fries.
What is going on? I think I may have diagnosed the problem with the Indiana basketball team. Malik, boneless wings also. That's not a wing.
Get your hands dirty.
Get your hands dirty. You lick off the sauce afterwards. That's part of the fun.
I know. I've always been a boneless wing guy.
What's the difference between a boneless wing and a chicken nugget?
And there's no difference. I like chicken nuggets too.
I actually like chicken nuggets too, but not if they sold them as boneless wings. I've never ordered a boneless wing in my life. I won't do it. And I think it's a real problem that you and Malik need to come to
the bone-in wings. Like, yeah, I'll eat those if they're the only option. Like, I don't think twice about it. Like, oh yeah, wing, you know, love wings.
Yeah.
But you know, if there's an option between boneless or bone-in, I'm taking the boneless.
Don't you get worried about, like, how do they take the bones out? Like, how does that process even happen?
That thought has never once crossed my mind.
Next time you're at Buffalo's, I want you to look at a bone-in wing and look at a boneless and go, how did this even happen? It's wizardry. It's wizardry. It's dark magic. You what?
I can't imagine that deterring me at all.
All right. Any other? What about breakfast? You ever do a big breakfast anywhere in Bloomington?
I mean, every once in a while, I'll go to like IHOP or something.
Not Village Deli?
Yeah, Village Deli is good. I've been there, I think, twice.
Yep.
Got the biscuits and gravy one time, and then got French toast the other time.
Excellent.
And I go to like there's like a corner store that makes good breakfast sandwiches too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Runcible Spoon. Have you done Runcible Spoon yet?
I think I got biscuits and gravy from there one time.
Runcible Spoon's good. And Uptown Cafe is a great breakfast.
I don't think I've been there.
Oh, you got next time your parents are in town, because you don't want to spend the money. Like, although with NIL, I mean, hell, maybe you can. I don't know. It's different these days. But get the parents to put that one on the old credit card, Uptown Cafe.
Oh, I'll tell you, I like Crazy Horse too.
Yes. Crazy Horse is awesome.
That's kind of our spot if we need some dinner. And like Mexican spot, Viva Mas.
Where is so that?
It's kind of over by the College Mall.
I don't know Viva Mas. Really good?
So good.
What's that chicken place? You like Dave's. There's that other chicken place by the mall.
By the mall?
Yeah, that's like a woman's name. Like, it's by the, I think it's by the Chick-fil-A too.
Near yeah, Joella's.
Yes, Joella's. See, I wasn't crazy off with the women's name. Yeah. I've had it one time. I thought it was fine, but not great.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. All right. What about classes? What's the best class you took? What's the worst class you took or taking?
In terms of like how much I like it or in terms of my grade?
By the way you asked that, let's not get into your grade. Let's talk about
my grades are good. I want to put that.
All right. Are you did you make over a 3.0?
Oh yeah, easily.
Oh good. 3.5?
Yeah, I think so. First semester, at least, for sure.
All right. Your favorite class, though, the one that you like the most?
I would say, I'm trying to think of the classes I have first semester. It seems like forever ago.
Or it could be a class you're taking now.
Yeah, I don't mind the Roman culture class I'm in right now.
Roman culture?
Yeah, I've always thought like history kind of intrigues me, but
awesome.
Rome's pretty cool. I was hoping for a little bit more of, you know, talk about Jesus, but there's not really, because, you know, the Roman culture class takes place right in the time that Jesus comes into it and then he goes out. And so I was like, okay, they have to talk about him.
Yeah, it's kind of a big moment.
Yeah, and I'm not really seeing that so far. Maybe I'll get a change, you know, as class
Definitely different than the class that Malik told us about, which was community health.
What's that?
Exactly. I asked him, tell me one thing you've learned in community health. He couldn't do it. He could not do it.
So it's just an easy class. That's why it's his favorite.
Yeah, exactly. What's your least favorite class?
I would say K201, which is like a computers and business.
Mm.
That one was tough at the beginning, but it's kind of growing on me because I took K201, which is like the first class of it for the first semester. And now I'm in K303, which is dealing with it more. And I'm actually starting, it's kind of growing on me because I'm a numbers guy.
Are you learning like how to use spreadsheets and like advanced functions?
Like different models and stuff in Excel.
That's cool. Now, one thing I got to say, and I'm sure you guys like this, I do not. It seems like there are so many classes that you guys are taking that are online that you don't have to actually go into a classroom. Is that what your schedule is like?
No, I have none that are online.
Oh, good.
Actually, I have one. I have one. And it just started in the second 8 weeks of this semester. So,
but all your classes are, most of them are going into a classroom.
Yeah. I feel like if I didn't, then I would be bored out of my mind. Like, I got to go outside and do something other than, like, if I don't go to class, like, I'm just going back and forth to the gym and it feels like I'm on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, monotonous, totally. And, like, you want to see different people and funny shit happens in class and it's interesting. And, like, walking through campus is just incredible. Like, walking to Ballantyne Hall and through that area by the Union and Ballantyne and, you know, the creek and the bridges. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice.
What's your favorite part of campus? Do you have a spot on campus that is like your favorite place?
I don't know if it counts as on campus, but Lake Griffey, I like going there to read. Like, if you like sit down on the sidewalk and you can hang your feet over the ledge, and then when you're looking out, the sun sets, like there's like trees coming and it kind of leads to the straightaway and the sun sets right in the middle and it kind of goes down over the lake. So I read there during sunset sometimes.
Let me tell you something. Might be a good place to take a girlfriend. Might be a good place. It seems romantic. Like, get a little picnic together.
Yeah, maybe once the weather warms up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
A little chilly right now. I got to bundle up to go out there.
Yeah, I get that. All right, so talk to me about the schedule. The rest of, obviously, this school year, you finish out in May. Will you go home after that? Will you stay in Bloomington? What's the plan here?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm still trying to learn what goes on too, but I think, as far as my knowledge goes, I think we can go home during May. So I think I will go home. And then we come back until, yeah, until we leave again, and then we stay home until school starts, I think.
Got it. Right. End of August, basically. What about you're working with Cliff Marshall now? Obviously, when the season ends, so much of what you do during the season is about maintenance and just kind of staying healthy and obviously in shape. But now is a time where we've seen in the past players that gain weight, they want to put on weight or want to lose weight. Are you in a place where you need to change your body at all going into next season or want to? And if so, how's that going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to gain some weight, probably anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds if I can.
What are you at now, like 160 or something?
170, yeah.
Okay, so you want to get to 180, 185?
Yeah, that's around what I want to play at next year. And then I think just getting a little bit stronger. I think I'm pretty strong, but I think that weight would also help too. But
yeah,
I like lifting and I like working out, so I think shouldn't be a problem for me to get stronger.
You talked before about how, like, just everybody knows that when you go from high school to a high major program, there's going to be a difference. You're not going to be able to do the same things. Could you tell from a strength situation, even just like getting bumped on pick and rolls, things like that, that, oh, this is an area that I do need to get better at or get stronger at?
Yeah. I would say the pick and rolls is the biggest thing for me, mostly because I'm always on the ball a lot of the times. But, you know, getting through screens, you really got to get into the guy, you know, handling the ball to be able to get over, or you just get knocked off every single time. But I didn't really notice that much with post-ups. I thought I could stand my ground pretty well in post-ups and when guards would try to take me point to post.
Yeah,
I think, you know, doesn't hurt to get stronger.
No, of course not. All right, so looking towards next year, what do you ever take a step back and go, here's what I want for our team next year. Here's what success looks like next year. We know what Woody's been preaching since he got there, but do you look at it like, here's what we need to do next year? Here's what would make me happy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously thoughts about the future, you know, happen with everybody. But, you know, obviously I just want to win. And I think the best way we can do that is, you know, trying to build connections earlier and build better relationships earlier, because we're going to have new guys again. So I think, you know, the faster we can build trust and have a great connection and culture around our team, then I think we can start playing a lot better, you know, on the court, kind of like the flipping point in our season this year happened. So I think the quicker that process can happen, the better for us. And I think me going through a season and an off season, you know, this past year, I can be a lot more aware of, you know, what to call out and what to, you know, not let go. So I think we can do a lot better at it.
All right, Gabe, you know, we love you. Love what you're about. Except for the boneless wings, like that, I'm never gonna accept that. I'm sorry. I know it's easier, but it's just not what men do.
Yeah.
So whatever. I mean, maybe it's a generational thing. You know, you and Malik are obviously in lockstep on the boneless wings. But look, man, this was a tough year. You know, it was a tough year for you guys. It was a tough year for fans. I think it was a tough year for the coaches. There were some high moments and there were some low moments, and it didn't end the way anybody wanted it to. But one thing that I admired about you is you just kept plugging ahead and you gave it your all. And I hope you heard on some level how much that was appreciated by the fan base. You would come in and just dig in on defense and dive after a ball or make a deflection or stop a guy in the backcourt. And the crowd loves that. Like, we love watching you play. We know what you're about. And you're about all the things we want Indiana to be about. And I've said this so many times, part of the fun of college basketball, a big part is watching players grow from year to year to year to year. And your commitment to Indiana, you just, you know, saying you committed to IU and coming back means we get to watch that with you. And we're excited as hell to do it. Proud to call you a Hoosier, man, and can't wait to watch what the future's got in store for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Say hi to your family for me.
All right. I will.
Be good.
That was our guest. That was our guest.
I loved him before. I love him more now. He's just great. And when he loosens up and just you get a sense of his personality, you realize this is just such a cool dude. You just want to be friends with him. He wants to learn about Roman culture and how Jesus intersects with Roman history. And he's upset he hasn't learned that yet. He's got real opinions on boneless wings, which is just the wrong opinion. I'm glad we clarified Rocky V is not Rocky III. Obviously, he skipped a movie there. He's just such a great kid. He's a great kid. You want to root for him. You want nothing but success for him. And I do believe when you've got a kid who's about the right things, who obviously has talent, who obviously has a high basketball IQ, and has a work ethic that is unmatched, the future is going to be bright for him. He's going to become a really, really good player at Indiana. I think we're going to see a big jump next year. And I think his junior and senior years, he's going to be a leader both on and off the court that will be helpful for whatever team we have built around him. But he's going to be an important piece of the puzzle for us going forward. I love the kid. I love his family. I do think it's interesting that two things. He talked about how he wants to build relationships sooner this coming year. And he talked about how at the end of the year, they started trusting each other. We've heard that this was not the most connected team this past season. And I think through the Malik interview and now Gabe, you see that that was the case for much of the year. But it does seem like they got to a good place at the end of the year. The fact that they realized they got to get to that place earlier next year is a good thing for the leaders on that team, especially Trey, Anthony, Malik, who's going into his third year, and now Gabe going into his second year. I think those are all really important things. The second thing, I don't like that he's the only one in the Breakfast Club. I do. I mean, like, look, these guys work their ass off, and you don't have to be part of the Breakfast Club to work hard, but I want to see, like, that become a thing. I think that would just speak volumes of the connectivity of the team and the work ethic of the team. So I'm hoping Gabe's second year attracts more people to the Breakfast Club. I love hearing that Ja'Kai wants to be part of it, and he seems like he's really close to being able to go full go. So hopefully the Breakfast Club continues and grows. I love Gabe Cups. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E, no I, but the sometimes why. It's so much better when I do it alone. No issues. See you next time.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.